Hi there. Welcome to the From Lab to Launch podcast by Qualio, where we share inspiring stories from the people on the front lines of life sciences. Tune in and leave inspired to bring your life-saving products to the world. Now let's get started with Robert, Qualio founder and CEO, and our show host.
Hi, everyone. Really excited to welcome Nick Perrineau, co-founder of HAI Solutions, to the show today. Nick led the development and patent for a solution to protect patients from the accidental or negligent contamination of IV anesthesia medications. Nick learned the importance of protecting patients with sterile IVs, not only as a nurse anesthetist, but also when caring for his adopted son, who required IVs for 7 years and spent nearly 3 years in the hospital due to central line infections. Nick's story is so inspiring. I really hope you enjoy this conversation. So Nick, welcome to the show today. Really excited to have you join us and tell us more about your journey, what you're working on, and sharing some of the lessons learned you've had from the, I think, 5 years now, or almost 6 years you've been working on this.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's been quite a journey. It's one of those amazing processes that you can't believe how fast time goes by.
I know that feeling, unfortunately. So maybe just for anybody listening who's not familiar with your business, maybe you could tell us a little bit about HAI Solutions and what you're doing, how you're helping people.
Yeah, so HAI Solutions came out of a personal experience, and we are developing products to help protect patients who are in the hospital from hospital-acquired infections. And we're in the journey of producing devices to do that. And in the medical space, particularly in the infusion medication administration space.
How did you get into that? That sounds pretty specialized.
Yeah, my background is in nursing. And years ago, when I had my first job, my wife and I worked at a children's hospital. And I was in the pediatric ICU there, where we met my to-be-soon-adopted first child. He was abandoned there because of his condition, and he had a central line. It's basically a vascular access, a catheter in his bloodstream, in his chest, that required infusions every day for nutrition. He had a condition that required nutrition through his bloodstream. And what kept him in the hospital for what ended up being 28 of his first 36 months was that a catheter was getting infected, what's called a catheter-related bloodstream infection. And those catheters are surgically implanted and then obviously surgically removed. He had over 12 of them in those first 3 years. So very complicated, medically fragile little guy. And my wife worked with him every day, and she advocated while he was in the hospital. And she came to me and said, we've got to bring him home. We've got to do something for him. His life is obviously limited, but even more so, it's accelerated by these conditions that are happening in the hospital. And so we brought him home, and even despite knowing what I knew as a pediatric ICU nurse, we realized that there is a lot to be learned about catheter access. And what really it honed in our understanding of is that bacterial ingress, or bacteria gets into the bloodstream through these access points. And so when we had been taught at that time of bringing him home by IV pharmacist, who said there's like three things, and it was overridden by vigilance, obviously, mm-hmm. but three things. One, you had to use alcohol or isopropyl alcohol. You had to scrub these connections, and you had to allow that time for it to dry and also time for it to be scrubbed. So cleaning these connection ports to disinfect or sterilize these connections. So we did. We were very vigilant. We did all what he had said. And on top of that, just extra mindful of his access. 2 years went by and he was growing and thriving, no infections. And so it just trajectory changed for him. He started school and having somewhat of a normal life. And we ended up getting a couple of years with that line, and they wanted a larger line because he was growing. And so we saw how basically these techniques were so effective, and my career transitioned to anesthesia. And in anesthesia, the work environment is so busy and chaotic at times anyways, that the medications that we were administering, we weren't following very tight procedures of these cleanings that we would obviously be doing at home but we weren't doing, I wasn't seeing being done at work. And so the environment actually has exceptions where they are allowed to, based on the emergencies of the situation, do what's needed to give medications, but the connection points were not being cared for like we were doing at home. And so I saw a need. I saw where there was this discrepancy between what was working for my son at home was obviously these pillars of information and vigilance. Though safety is a major aspect of anesthesia, this particular aspect of anesthesia, there wasn't a lot of attention to. And it brought us to a point where we thought, man, I wish there was a tool. I wish there was devices. I wish there was ways that we could help providers do a better job at the hospital. And in a coordinated event of several things, it was just amazing how it all comes together. My business partner and I, we met over the device we were using at home for my son. I said that we needed to use this at the hospital whenever my son needed to go to the hospital. I thought this University Children's Hospital should have this device. It's just the connector was a special connector. And we hit it off and we just started developing ideas. Those ideas went from sitting at a Starbucks over a cup of coffee on a napkin to filing patents and really pursuing this idea of creating something to help ultimately the providers protect the patients in the hospital.
So that's, you know, I'm sure the montage has more than you met than the Starbucks, than the patent, right? So yeah. I think that story is pretty common. So this started from a product that you already existed that was, you thought had more applications. Is that a fair summary of some of the initial concept, or did you completely redesign something?
Well, basically this multi-port delivery device was our first device. And in the hospital, there's, in these environments, like the anesthesia environment, there's multiple port devices that are in line of our IV fluid already. And what we were seeing was that you could practically inject anything through them. There really was no safeguard for bacteria or particles or air. And so there are devices in the market that had filtration, but that weren't integrated into the multi-port. And so we thought, let's draw it up. Let's create it. Let's see if it's patentable. And it turns out it was. And so we put pharmacy grade filtration in a multi-port delivery device. Mm-hmm. And have multiple channels because there's different applications in anesthesia that would require that, and customized it for what we would describe as like the perioperative area. So intraop is the OR, and pre is before, and post is after, but even ICU and with those areas where you would be doing the same kind of infusions, but with the safeguard of having these pharmacy grade filters to capture those accidental contaminations.
I can imagine how much impact that's made. Now, maybe coming back to that moment, I always try and ask people and even friends, people I meet, is, do you remember the moment you decided to start pulling on that thread, so to speak?
In the sense of that moment of inspiration, like this is we've got to do it.
I think we're going to do this. Yeah. Because that's, I think people can often remember that very moment you said, I'm just going to dig in here and see what happens.
Yeah. I remember actually being in the anesthesia work room before prepping for a case, and sourcing these ideas, but not really being able to create it with what was existing. And so, yeah, I do remember that inspiration moment where it was basically looking at how do I assemble this? And then it really wasn't available, but that is definitely a moment that has been a moment that we've reflected on before for sure.
Yeah. So you saw a problem firsthand personally. You had ways to solve that. You identified that the current status quo wasn't quite exactly where it should be. You decided to draw up some ideas with the person you'd met, your business partner. Let's talk about what are some of the things that didn't work, because people often see all the, at the end product, right? Survivorship bias is you see what worked, and this is now a business and a product, but it's always fascinating to understand the, like, the missed shots that got people there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I would say is that it didn't happen overnight. Like, I think that's what you're getting at, is that it takes time, and there's the highs and the lows of finding your way. And we're still finding our way. I think that's one of the beauties of this journey, is that it doesn't happen accidentally. In the way of the things that the missed shots, I think looking back, one of the areas that it would have been maybe helpful is if there was a particular program that would have been available. I know of them now, but at the time we forged our own way through creating a business and bringing different resources together and trying to make it happen on our own. And I think one of the challenges is, mm-hmm. I mean, from that beginning stage of having this idea to realizing that it's a huge undertaking. It's a huge undertaking of raising funds. It's a huge undertaking of coordinating the multiple experts that are required to, especially on a device that requires FDA approval. So there's a whole regulatory side of things.
Yeah.
The legal aspect of having a business, legal aspect of filing intellectual property, maintaining those relationships, it is so complex. And yeah, so it would be amazing if I could have had, you know, one house, I guess you could say, that had resources that would be able to have coordinated that ahead of time. But yeah, I think we had this sort of trial and error of relationships and let's go in this direction and realizing maybe that maybe we were a little premature or maybe it wasn't the right fit. And so you have to learn those lessons the hard way.
A lot of our security with our customers and where we help them, we have this bold mission of enable teams launch and scale life-saving products. And you're almost the perfect definition of one of those teams, one of those products that can have such a tremendous impact on people. And that complexity is often hidden because you see this problem, you conceive a solution, you might test it works, but then you have these other barriers. The IP one is an interesting one. The one we spend a lot of time with is the quality regulatory side of it. I'm curious, again, question I always ask everybody I meet is, what was it like? How did you discover that regulatory pathway and what quality meant? And how did you get past those?
Yeah. I have learned this as we've journeyed along. My business partner was and continues to be in the device development on the marketing sales side from medical devices. And so he had a network of people that he referred to in those early stages. So we thought, well, we got to make this device. So how do you get from this prototype that we've assembled to an actual device? So going through the network of a design house and then going to basically a manufacturing, pre-manufacturing house, then they would require, oh, so what's your regulatory plan? Oh, yep. And we would say, oh, do you have someone that you could, you know, refer us to? And so that kind of is how we did. Initially, we worked with a regulatory advisor, so consulted with him, and he had been in this space before with the infusion space, and so he said, this is the project plan and this is how we have to execute it. We have to take it to the FDA and get a pre-submission done, and so he had that roadmap already, and so with his expertise, we followed his lead and got the pre-submission completed with the FDA, which then provided the roadmap to say, this is what we now have to achieve. And the FDA was at that point supportive if we could do what they had outlined for us.
And not to get too nerdy, but what pathway did you follow? Was it a 510K pathway where you piggybacked on something already there? It was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. We did a 510K pathway with a predicate device that is without the filtration component, but has the multi-port and fluid pathway design that's similar. So we're following that.
Yeah. So much behind something so small, right? So taking a step back, any other lessons learned? So we spoke about some of the blockers, some of the challenges. Yeah. And what were the big lessons learned that you wish you knew going back to when you started working on this?
Lessons. I whenever I think about the challenges, I will say what continues to fuel us is the results and inspiration of where we come from. So my son, actually, we used a central line for over 10 years without an infection. Now, it's unheard of, the reality of using the same catheter every day for this extended amount of time is sort of rare, maybe more than rare. It's just exceptional. So knowing that we could achieve something in our own home that would then inspire us to be able to achieve that on a grander scale kept us
focused.
And so I think that was something that we always refer back to, is that inspirational journey that has been proven in our own experiences. What has been really, I would say, one of the most time-consuming processes is getting funding. I think funding is, I wouldn't say underestimated, but it takes a ton of time to, in our experience anyways, to bring together individuals who can see your vision and can say, I totally see this happening with our support. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say, great job, great story. It seems to be a great idea. Why don't we, you know, talk some more about it? Or how about you go to this angel group first? Or how about we do, you know, vet you through other channels? And so friends and family have been really what have kept us going up into this point. But angel groups are engaging with us now that we have patents. So we have assets that I think we can lean up against. And so that would be one of the things, is I think lessons learned. It takes time and patience and persistence. And that applies to this process as well for raising funds.
To paraphrase some of what you've said, is, you know, the fundraising takes a long time. It's difficult. And you mentioned the work on like the patent. So is it fair to say that securing the intellectual property and the patent, do you believe, is going to be one of the levers to unlock the funding to get you where you need?
Yeah, thank you. That is the summary. That is the truth. Yeah. Pre-patent, it was a lot of great job, guys, but let's wait and see. But I'll tell you, the day that the first patent, because now we filed several patents, we have UV light. We brought in an engineer who's now part of our company, who is a friend of my business partner. So now the three of us have collaborated in making an effort in other products within the UV space. And so we filed other patents, which we have now also have gotten approvals on the UV IV sterilizing device. But yes, to your point, is that as we've gained traction with intellectual property, the attention and the support has come much easier.
So maybe the next question might be, how did you navigate the path to a patent? Was it like from the referrals? I'm curious as to how other people can shorten that learning cycle, because it's complicated.
It is complicated. And picking the right attorney and the right firm. Yeah. I wish I had, this is the way to do it. I'll be honest. I was fortunate is that a roommate in college became a patent attorney for quite a large firm in Southern California. And so I called him on that napkin drawing and just said, is this even something we should pursue? And he said, I think you should come in the office. I think we should sit down and look at it. And that started it. So we have a big advantage from our personal relationship. But I would say that having his support from the get-go made the difference.
It sounds like it. So a lesson learned for everybody is call up your former roommate. And
I wish there was like a, do that this way or talk to that firm. But yeah, no, personal relationships have been a huge part of our journey for sure.
And everybody has some story like that, because in anything you do here, because it's so difficult and it takes so long, it's, you lose all these battles and you have these battles you win, and you always find some, there's always something you typically find within your network or you just so happen to know that helps. I'm curious for anybody else, is there any other resources that would be relevant to help people when they have when they're having the coffee, probably socially distanced or at home right now, and they have a napkin and they're writing out the diagram over a Zoom call and they think, oh, is this patentable? Is there any kind of resources or places you think people could go to at least get somewhere along the journey without the meeting in the lawyer's office?
Yeah, I think there's government websites there. We've referenced over the, I think Public is one of them that posts patents. Google has a search feature that you can look at what exists out in that space that you're interested in. We went through an accelerator group in our town that in Southern California and San Diego. We had an accelerator that provided us resources. I think big cities typically are around universities have that as well. The university that I currently work at also has that in-house. If there's something where, again, if you're in, you know, healthcare like I am, a lot of providers are in that clinical space and that is their domain. And so it's they don't have all these resources and expertise. And so looking at it now after all these years, the university I currently work for has that in-house. You bring it to them. Of course, there's a bit of sharing that ends up happening with that. You hand off in exchange for their services. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess my point is that there's lots of different ways of approaching it. I think that I have a friend at work that also in the non-healthcare space, he has created or has filed a patent. And he went on Yelp and he looked, what's the best patent attorney in my area? And he's had mixed success, I think. I don't know if there's
lots of options. I think that's lots. It's something that I personally don't know a lot about. So I think that's really helpful. Where's the business today?
So currently we have one product that's in manufacturing. That multi-port delivery device is basically halfway through manufacturing. It's in a stage where we're nearly complete with the design freeze, if you want to say. Basically saying that the device is exactly the way we want it and it's performing the way that it's supposed to. There's a few tweaks that we're making, and new year, probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks, we'll have that design freeze. And then it kicks off this validation phase where we will then go through manufacturing for the next 6 to 9 months to be able to produce that final product. And so with that final product, then you can engage with the FDA and begin that journey of vetting this device that it's ready for clinical use with all the requirements that the FDA has. So right now we're in manufacturing. We've been in manufacturing this phase for about 6 months. And the next one will be an additional 6 to 9 months as we get that device out of our hands and into the hands of the FDA and clinicians after that. The second device is prototype. We have did on the UV device bench testing, and the results surprised us. We were so excited how it performed. That's part of that fundraising that we're trying to do right now, is accelerate that device into that same manufacturing pathway. It takes about a year from the ideas going into manufacturing and then being able to be processed through to the end result.
So fast forward a year, successful fundraising, one product in market, one product close to the market. Is that the goal?
Yeah. So FDA is going to be key. So we're hoping FDA approval by end of year. We'll follow that pre-submission. And based on that, we were hopeful that will happen. And then, maybe first quarter or second quarter of next year, or I guess the following year, 22, we'll have that second device ready to go. And they're very different. They're, in some regards, there's this complementary synergism to them, where one addresses the contamination sites where we were using alcohol. We're now looking at using UV light. And then the downstream, and we have that integrated filtration capability. And I think together we said cheeky a little bit, but the like driving an automobile, we have the seatbelt, which is low tech but very effective. And then we have the airbag, which is a bit more high tech, and together you're much more safe having both of them. And so that's why we're excited about accelerating this UV light. We just feel like it will enhance what we're working on with the multi-port and achieve that together. I think that's our goal in 2022.
Well, Nick, that's a great story. I'm excited to watch your progress over the next year, and hope if I can help with anything, you reach out, and your story to get where you've gotten, I think, is inspirational. And I applaud you for the work you've done and the journey you're on. I really appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much for joining us today. And if there's anything, any links that you have on patent offices or anything you've got some insights from, we'll add that to the show notes. And with that, sir, have a great day. Thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Robert, thanks so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of From Lab to Launch, brought to you by Qualio. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and give the show a positive review. It really helps us out. For more information about Qualio, our guest today, or to be a guest on a future episode, please refer to the show notes. Until next time.